Welcome to the Business Coach Podcast, an advice-oriented series for Canadian entrepreneurs. I'm Ian Portsmouth, editor of Profit Magazine, and I'll be your host as we tackle the hot issues facing Canada's small businesses. We've developed this podcast series in cooperation with BMO Bank of Montreal. Over the course of the series, I'll be drawing on experts in a number of fields, including some BMO experts, in order to provide the credible information and prescriptions you need to run your small business better. When it comes to small business, franchising is big business. Tens of thousands of Canadians operate franchises under hundreds of brand names, and they're not all in fast food. Franchises exist in Canada in a vast array of niches, from lawn care and auto repair to executive coaching and corporate cost cutting. To many people, franchising is an easy way to get into business ownership. But as with any business, running a successful franchise is never as simple as it seems. On this episode of The Business Coach, we'll explore the unique opportunities and challenges of the franchising game. We'll cover what franchising offers an aspiring entrepreneur, whether it's the right business for you, and how to get the most out of franchise ownership. Here to start us off is one of Canada's leading authorities on franchising, Ken Pattenden. Ken is chairman of the Canadian Franchise Association. He is also the president of Taco Time Canada, a Calgary-based franchiser of Mexican quick service and fast casual restaurants with 111 locations in Canada. Ken, welcome to The Business Coach.
Thank you, Ian. It's a pleasure to be here.
Ken, just how big is franchising in Canada? How many franchises are out there and how many franchisees?
Well, it's a little nebulous in that franchising really is more of a business model and an industry in and of itself. But what we believe to be around 1,200 brands that are out there within franchising, which would comprise some 76,000 businesses and probably in excess of 1 million people that are employed within those 76,000 businesses.
Can you give us an idea of the growth rate of franchising in Canada and how that might compare to historical growth rates?
In discussions with other franchise associations around the world, one of the things that we've come to the conclusion on is Canada's one of the most franchised countries in the world in terms of having the largest number of franchise entities relative to its population. Again, sort of, you know, describing growth rates is hard because it varies by industry, but for example, pet care, because of a changing demographic in our nation, is becoming an industry that's growing, and franchising is playing a very important growth of that particular industry.
Very briefly, can you describe the typical franchising arrangement for people who are not entirely sure how franchising works?
Sure. The franchise agreement really has two parties to it, a franchisor and a franchisee. The franchisor owns the intellectual property that gives the system its uniqueness and in turn its value. So the franchisor, in order to protect that, has to plan the activities of the franchise. What are they doing to continue to build that brand? It has to direct or train the people that are executing the system, and it has to control that system in order to make sure that there's compliance throughout it so that, again, there's consistent brand development. So those are the franchisor's sort of rights and obligations, if you like. From the franchisee's side, the franchisee is essentially renting that brand name for the term of the contract, and many different franchises will have different terms related to how long the franchisee has the right to rent that brand name, but you know, the franchisee really is renting it. The franchisor owns the intellectual property. So while the franchisee is renting that brand name, they really have to execute the system as it's prescribed by the franchisor, and that's really the franchisee's obligation, is to execute that system and create some wealth for themselves in conjunction with all the other franchisees that are executing that brand's unique and particular operating system.
For a lot of people, franchising is their first taste of business ownership. Now, what are the attractions of running a franchised operation?
Well, certainly it's the easier first step because you're going into a system that's established. You have reasonable expectations of what that system should generate for you. You have the ability to talk to other people who are in it before you get into it so that you can decide if this is a good fit for you. But at the end of the day, going into a franchise system allows you to hit the ground running with respect to your particular store location or type of business, depending on the franchise you're in.
Now, I would suspect, given the nature of the franchisor-franchisee relationship, that a lot of people actually aren't suited to running a franchise. Is that true?
Sure. There's some people that, and there's some businesses that shouldn't be franchised. But, you know, I think the basic qualifications there, if you're really entrepreneurial, if you believe that you've got all it takes to go out and build your own business and establish yourself in whichever industry you choose, then probably franchising isn't the right spot for you. You know, franchising by its nature requires that people come in and execute their system and not recreate that system. So if you're extremely entrepreneurial, you probably should not get into a franchise system. Doesn't mean that you don't have to have some of those entrepreneurial skills in terms of customer service or some local store marketing. But if you're a real entrepreneur and think you can set the world on fire with your concept, then you should focus on that concept, but probably not get into a franchise business model.
What level of business acumen does a successful franchisee need?
I don't think there's a significant need of business acumen in there. I know in my own system we have architects, engineers, accountants, we have people who have had some food experience, many who haven't. And I think most franchises, again, the benefit of them, are so laid out and straightforward that an individual can assess, do I want to do this first? And that's the first question I would ask somebody rather than their business acumen is, do I want to sell tacos? Or do I want to be in a janitorial service? You know, you got to find the right fit for what you personally want to do. And then, does the franchise system allow you to do that effectively? And that's how I would describe more the business acumen piece. It's, at the end of the day, somebody's running a business and they're going to have to pay people and that sort of thing. But most franchise systems will help the individual franchisee through that piece of the puzzle, and it becomes less of a headache for the individual franchisee if they didn't have experience with it before.
Like you said earlier, there are about 1,200 different franchising brands operating in Canada. How can I, as an aspiring entrepreneur, choose between all of them? What are the characteristics of a good franchisor?
Well, I think the first question is, what do I want to do? Do I want to be in the restaurant business? Do I want to be in the service business? And that's the first thing to decide yourself in looking at this. Pick the thing that you want to do. Then once you've done that, look for the franchisees, and there's many directories around. Certainly the franchise directory published by Franchise Canada magazine is a good source for that. It'll break it down by industries. Once you then highlight the individuals that are involved in franchising in that sector, again, there's those that are members of the Canadian Franchise Association that has a code of ethics that all of those members have to ascribe to. You start to talk to those people. You see them at trade shows. You're going to start going on their website to find, do I have sufficient capital to get into that particular business? It's a long process in the due diligence of selecting the appropriate franchise and franchisor for an individual. The key is making sure that the prospective franchisee realizes the resources that are available to them in that task.
What about levels of disclosure among franchises? What are they expected to tell a prospective franchisee?
Well, under the Arthur Wishart Act and the legislation that exists in Alberta, franchisors doing business in those two jurisdictions and now New Brunswick and potentially PEI.
And sorry, Arthur Wishart is in Ontario?
The Arthur Wishart Act is the Ontario legislation, yeah. And under that legislation, a franchisor must have full disclosure of all of the material terms of their franchise agreement. They also have to disclose numbers of stores closed over the last year, contact individuals for those stores. They have to disclose the other franchisees of the system in the particular jurisdiction so that the prospective franchisee has the opportunity to phone those people, talk to them. Is this a good fit? Is the franchisor doing what they should be doing in the system? Again, the disclosure requirement is the contract, any litigation that any of the officers or directors have been involved in, listing of other franchisees in the system. So what it does is give the tools that the franchisee needs to then conduct their own due diligence.
So what happens if you are not operating a franchise in one of those jurisdictions?
Well, if the franchisor is a member of the Canadian Franchise Association, we require our members to provide full disclosure regardless of jurisdiction. We just believe that that's the right thing to do. In order to get the right fit of franchisor and franchisee, everybody needs to know the requirements of this business before they're in business together. So a prospect who's looking to pick a franchise system, we really do direct them to CFA members because there is required disclosure, again, regardless of the jurisdiction. If you were looking at somebody who is not a member and did not provide disclosure documents, then the franchisee really has to just undertake a much greater degree of due diligence diligence and find that information for themselves before they sign on the line.
There are downsides in every business sector. What are some of the pitfalls that come with franchising?
Well, I think some of the pitfalls that we see will be an individual maybe didn't have the financial resources they needed to get into the particular line of business. Obviously, the scope of investment and the returns out of it vary a lot by the different types of franchise business models out there. But that can be something where somebody, you know, they're going into a business, if they're an owner-operator, they need to not only get the income out of it that they need to carry on their existence, but also potentially the service and debt that they might have incurred in getting into that franchise system. Again, an ethical franchisor will sit down with the individual ahead of time, and they'll have some guidelines as to how much, you know, real equity has to be in to try and mitigate those issues down the road. But that can be an issue that maybe somebody's sales haven't kicked off quite the way they expected, so it's a little lean for a couple of years. That can happen. It needs a lot of perseverance on the franchisee's part to work through some of those lean years if they happen. Another issue that comes up is, you know, maybe the franchisee didn't quite match up their personal goals with the business that's being undertaken. There are some businesses that require a substantial time commitment to build themselves up. Even though you've got a proven system, you're going into a market that may or may not have seen this brand before. So you may have to invest a lot of time in doing that. And sometimes individuals will fail to realize what, you know, the extent of that time. And again, that's just a communication thing on the front end to source out how much time do I need to spend in this business? Do I need to be an owner-operator? And again, all of those things should be cleared up well in advance of signing a franchise agreement.
And what recourse does a franchisee have when they're unhappy with their franchising arrangement?
Well, it can come up with maybe an inadequate amount of resources or not a matching with the personal goals or ambitions of the individual franchisee. So when that happens, or if it happens, the recourse is typically to sell the business. And again, I think the franchisor tends to want to participate in that, because if you have an unhappy franchisee, you would rather assist them in getting somebody else into that particular business who's more interested in growing it or is more fitting to their particular goals. So typically the franchisor will help that, but I would say that's the first case, is to sell it. Now, again, what's needed is, you know, if the business is underperforming, that typically isn't the most saleable of business. So there has to be a lot of care and attention at the front end to make sure that the franchisee is doing everything to build the equity value or the value of that business going forward, regardless of whether they see themselves being in it for the rest of their lives or, you know, wanting to be out of it in the next year. So it's important to build the business and show that the business has a solid underpinning beneath it.
And what happens when a franchisee is convinced that the franchisor is largely to blame?
Well, it's, in that case, again, there's mediation, there's arbitration, there's resources available to a franchisee. We at the CFA actually have an ombudsman program, so that if somebody feels that they haven't gotten what they expected out of the contract, that they can call and ask for the resources of those individuals, or go to the franchisor and sit down and sit in through mediation or some kind of alternative dispute resolution process. It can happen. And again, like in most disagreements, the best thing is open and honest communication to solve them.
Ken, thanks very much for joining the Business Coach.
Well, it's great being here. I hope I've been able to help.
Ken Pattenden is chair of the Canadian Franchise Association and the president of Taco Time Canada. For people who want to be in business for themselves but don't have a great business idea or much operational experience, franchising is an especially attractive opportunity. That's because franchising offers aspiring entrepreneurs a ready-made business concept, process, and brand. But franchising is no panacea. As with any business, you need to work hard at it. And because of the unique and sometimes tense relationship between franchisor and franchisee, running a franchise comes with its own set of challenges. Because of the downsides, many potential franchisees seek the help of franchising consultants like John McGavin. Based in Ottawa, John is a member of FranNet, the franchise network, which has more than 80 franchise consultants in 6 countries. FranNet's mission? To help its clients find a franchise that will give them what they want, affordably, and with safety. John, welcome to the Business Coach.
Well, thanks very much for having me.
John, briefly, what are the most important considerations for anyone who is looking to get into business ownership by purchasing a franchise?
I guess a common expression we're all familiar with is physician, heal thyself. And if we had one in franchising, it would be something like franchisee, know thyself. prospective franchisee really needs to take a hard look in the mirror. He needs to know what the motivating factors are for wanting to go in business. Not just some sort of an emotional ideal, but he needs some real motivation. Is he really serious about this? Will he be committed to doing some pretty serious due diligence? There's no real cost in doing the due diligence other than maybe some long-distance phone calls. But a prospective franchisee needs to be certain that self-employment will be the avenue he wants to go. Then he needs to do a serious self-evaluation. What is he or she trying to change in their lives that will make themselves better by being self-employed? And why? What are their skills? That is, what areas are they good at? Is it HR? Is it finance, people management, sales and marketing? And do they want to use those skills in their business, or are they just looking for a complete change to more than just their career, if they're looking for a whole lifestyle change? So their skills and strengths and weaknesses are important, and then they have to look at money. How much money are they comfortable investing? So notice that I didn't ask capable of investing, because those are two different things. Comfort levels for individuals versus capabilities play into it an awful lot, because even if it's a franchise, there is a certain amount of risk involved. So person needs to know what he's comfortable with investing. And over and above that, there'll probably be some financing as well. And we don't want people to put everything they have into a business. We want to minimize their exposure to risk.
If I'm a franchisee and I feel that I'm being treated unfairly in my franchising relationship, what recourse do I have? Because performing extensive due diligence in advance of entering a franchising arrangement isn't going to eliminate all possible problems.
There still are going to be disputes. And again, we recommend that prospective franchisees get professional help on their team. License agreements do not change, and the protective laws that the Wishart Act, through disclosure, have put in place work both ways. They do provide protection for the franchisor as well. So license agreements can be pretty one-sided, and we recommend that these license agreements be taken to franchise specialist lawyer for review. They are supposed to be written in plain English, but if there are parts that are not acceptable or palatable or understandable, have them reviewed to get the full import of them. And also, we recommend taking the disclosure documents to an accountant so that the financial viability of the franchisor can be determined as well, because not all franchises are created equally. I honestly believe that if these processes are followed, the major disputes won't happen. There's no reason for them anymore. And what's the resolution? I don't like to see them go to court action, but quite often they do. Quality franchisors and franchise systems, there are actually committees or groups within the franchisees themselves so that they can represent themselves as a block to the franchisor. They sit down and discuss conflict, make resolutions where possible, et cetera, and move forward. Beyond that, you have the courts, and beyond that, you have dissolution of the franchise agreement, whether by a resale or just abandoning the franchise. And those are the real shames. Those should not happen. The truth of the matter is, not all franchisors, not all franchise systems are created equally. And it's up to the franchisee to do the due diligence to make sure that the ones he's looking at are viable.
John, briefly, what would be your secrets of successful franchise ownership?
Follow their plan. Number one, they do have a business plan. They do have a business model that has or should have a proven track record of success. And this gets back to the question that you had about entrepreneurs. If an individual isn't really, if they like the business, they like what it does, but they don't really want to follow the plan, then they shouldn't buy that business. They have to make sure that they have enough money. And again, a quality franchisor will not put someone in business if he doesn't have the financial resources to do it. They are not interested in failure. They don't want someone who's working to pay back the bank forever. It doesn't work that way either.
John, in closing, can you tell us a tiny bit about FranNet and what fee you might charge for your services?
Well, oddly enough, our charges to a client are free. We offer a no-charge service to people to help them evaluate their background, skill sets, financial comfort level, and then identify businesses that will meet their long-term goals. We try to take the emotional aspect out of it and present them with businesses that they can research and make decisions on facts. franchisors that we work with pay us in the event of a successful conclusion to an individual purchasing a business.
Thank you very much, John.
It's been my pleasure.
John McGavin is a consultant with FranNet, the franchise network. He is based in Ottawa. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Business Coach Podcast Series. I hope you discovered a few insights that will help you grow your business. Your feedback is always welcome. Drop me a line at businesscoach@bmo.com. Meantime, be sure to visit us online at profitguide.com or bmo.com. Until next time, I'm Ian Portsmouth, editor of Profit Magazine.